Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'll be reading from Psalm 51 today. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercy. Blot out my transgressors. Wash me throughout from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, your desired truth in one part, and in hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear your joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I will give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. This, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness. With burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings, then they shall offer bulls on your altar. These are the word of God. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. Bart's going to come and speak to us now. And if you missed it at the beginning of the service, after Bart has spoken, we're going to have a time when you can ask for individual prayer while other people sing two songs. And then after that, there will be communion. So I'd just like to pray for Bart before he speaks to us. Father God, we thank you for Bart. We pray that your hand will be on him now as he brings your word to us. Pray that you will just give him the words that you want him to speak, and that he will be calm throughout. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning to you all at HBC this morning, and all online as well. I am Bartolomeo, for the ones who don't know me, and today we'll be exploring Psalm 51, and the theme of guilty is going to be explored with you all today. Thank you to every single one who make this service possible. It is much appreciated. It is always a privilege to stand here and to be a messenger with such an important psalm and its challenges. I would like to give a big thank you to Chris for the psalm he chose me to speak in the top of guilt. One of the greatest and the trickiest, perhaps, in the series we are, must confess that the poems and the praises from the psalms perhaps would be easier for me. But here we are. Chris, You owe me this one. If you are joining us for the first time today, or have missed the previous Psalms we've been through, here is a just short resume for. So Chris, three Sundays before, spoke to us on Psalm 139 and how we are so well known and so well loved by our God, and that no matter what we try to escape from him, it would be impossible. Don't know if you remember that. But then last Sunday, it was a big impact to me with Ian Randall bringing the brilliant sermon on Psalm. Well, sorry, I didn't want to say Chris's wasn't brilliant. Sorry again, Chris. So Ian was preaching on Psalm 84, and he was defining home to us all. And I said it was impacting because the meaningful to me as a pilgrim or a foreigner or even at the moment feeling a bit homesick. Due a number of events that has been happening in my life. Sorry about that. So in sequence, we are here in Psalm 51. Beautifully introduced to us by Hilary. Thank you for that, Hilary. And also read to us. I was waiting Vida to read it, and then Daniel came. I mean, they are one, aren't they, in flesh? So yes, by Vida and by Daniel. David is crying out to God and asking forgiveness for his sin, or for his sins. He has messed up, just as I mess up sometimes, as we all do sometimes or almost every day. We are all sinners, and I am the first to put myself in David's shoes as he cries out to God in verses 1 and 2 from the Message version that says, "Generous in love, God give grace, huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record, scrub away my guilt, soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I've been. My sins are staring me down." The title I was given today is "I Feel Guilty." Just as David felt guilt. Last week, when Ian was also mentioning about the value of Barker in his sermon, meaning that was a place of crying, which has or was turned into a place of spring, I want to say that crying is one of the immediate responses for guilt. David cried. I cry. Well, you just saw me cry now. We all do cry. And it's okay to cry. It's absolutely fine. We do need sometimes to cry, or allow us to cry, because sometimes we're crying inside, but we tend to make a nice yellow smile. Inwardly or outwardly, we do. And my question is, how often do you cry? You probably notice that I do ask many questions when I am preaching, just to make sure you're here with me. It's very hard to follow sometimes a foreigner speaking his not mother language. So as I was just saying, Hilary mentioned some important points about guilt and also forgiveness. The fact is, we are all sinners, and as it says in Romans 3, all have fallen short of the glory of God. But the great news is that we have a God who forgives us. Romans goes on and say that all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So we have been saved by grace. We haven't escaped from being sinners, by the way, but we need to accept we need a Savior and also to forgive ourselves when we struggle trying to find peace in our mind and heart after acknowledging that we have sinned. I want to say there are several figures and role models in the Bible from the beginning, Genesis to Revelation, and David is one of my favorites because he can be an extreme worshiper, and then at the same time, he can be just as opposite to that. He can be a very brave sinner or someone who knows who he is, and he's not ashamed of that. Here we are with one of his psalms and a powerful declaration about the death of sin and repentance called prayer of penitence, as well as his laments followed by his repentance and return to God by offering his heart and his spirit as a sacrifice before his God whom he has sinned against. We have been through Psalms, as I said, and they all encouraged us to have faith, to meditate in God's favor and also in his grace towards us. Lots of other Psalms that helps us to seek God's healing and comfort. But today, we will be looking at the need for repentance and confession. Is not an easy thing to do, but it is essential. In David, I also find someone who understands the expression broken spirit and broken and contrite heart in its whole meaning. Many of you may have seen the 1997 film called Seven that explores the seven deadly sins. If you haven't, that's fine, you can still see it. It's a bit long, but it's a very good idea of what I'm talking about. Someone's nodding their head. I was quite scared when I saw it for the first time, but there we go, you can try later. Although these are referred to as the deadly sins, I would say that all sins are equally deadly, because it says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So every sin should actually be called deadly sin. In today's era, Satan has more subtle ways of tempting us to sin. I will show you some slides. So if you follow with me, that's a very good one, isn't it? Envy. Oh, sorry. That would be the first one. Yeah. I was so brave when I saw how easy it is, Hillary, to forgive someone who gets some biscuits from your pocket. It's not very hard. But when you have someone that looks to you and desires everything you have, it's not quite as the same as some biscuit missing in our packet. There we go, number two. We're going to go for the very, very terrible one. Oh, goodness. Sloth. Oh, some people could be all day there just watching rubbish. Well, not Netflix, essentially, but rubbish on tellies, horrible news sometimes, things that make you anxious. You can also go for lust. We're naming some of them. And the next one, I'm sure perhaps it's not your case, but I can be tempted sometimes with that one. It doesn't look, but I can eat quite a lot. Feel free to invite me, take me somewhere, you're going to see how much I eat. And the next one, I was going to say, please, give it away, let it go. So easy to reply immediately when you feel offended and you lose your conscience sometimes, and you can cause even a worse scenario by just texting a wrong message at the wrong time with the wrong emotions. I'm sure nobody hears pride, but there we go. So easy. Oh my goodness. I have to tell you something that just impacted me. Brazil is the number one in people who follow Instagram on earth. Not South America, on the earth. As soon as you see someone posting a lovely bit, oh, I have one as well. There we go. I have been there too. Never mind. Careful. And the last one, greed. Zara was fighting with me about the picture that doesn't show like someone is greed in itself. But I said, well, actually it is. Looks like for me. So let's just explore the themes in this psalm a little bit deeper. First, I would say we need to acknowledge that we have sinned, therefore we do need to repent. Well, no matter how innocent or naive we are, sin is sin, and all have names. Not just the seven ones I just named to you. Although we don't really like talking about them or about it, there is a need to recognize them or it and expose them and confess them. Because Leviticus 4, 5, and 6, we see God giving to Moses some instructions on how to proceed in the ceremonies for people's sins, from the anointed priest to anyone else who have sinned. There is no escape for nobody. They needed to come before the high priest in repentance to confess. There were designated sacrifices for every specific sin. Can you imagine how embarrassing that could be if you today need to bring with you to the church sermon in, you know, HBC Sunday morning, a young goat, and you're pulling him by his thorns to the temple to be sacrificed in order to have your sins removed? Because that was happening there in Leviticus. Well, I have to say, it would have been impossible not to be seen or heard. And even worse, according to the sacrifice, people would know what kind of sin you had committed. And it was the same as naming them in front of everybody. I love the way HBC does. Oh, if you feel you need to be prayed, you just go to the back. It's going to be silent. Nobody's going to see. There is actually a wall there to protect you. Well, it didn't happen those days. We are much privileged today, aren't we? Well, sin is the same from there to today. So as I mentioned before, promise not to be tough to you, because this is actually more for me than for you. I don't like you to leave the service today saying, oh, Bart was horrible. That's not me. Sorry. As I mentioned before, David was in a very embarrassing situation here in Psalms 51. He thought that his wonderful plan was carefully executed and he was not ever going to face its consequences because he cleverly planned in minimal details, it won't fail. But he had forgotten that God is omniscient. Is this how to pronounce it? Yeah. Yes. And he probes, thank you, Andrew. And he probes our hearts and minds. David had not only lied and stolen Bathsheba for himself as a lover and a wife, but he also took her husband's life away by sending him to fight in a suicidal position at the army, making sure his path would now be free to continue this relationship of lust and greed. Oh, two of the seven on him here. Good God. But David was also a man of great courage. Remember, I mentioned before. Not only to fight with beasts and kill them, but to stand up and recognize his errors and mistakes. That's why I loved him. Very often before God, he would tear his heart in prayers of repentance and confession. After the prophet Nathan had challenged David once, he, recognizing that he has sinned, and in verses 14, as we just heard by Vida's husband of the psalm, he cries out for forgiveness, and in humiliation, he offers his broken and contrite heart to God again. And I want to say we all need a prophet like Nathan in our lives. Someone who comes with God's authority and tells us what is wrong so we can repent together and pray for forgiveness. I said we, but I have had many prophets in my ministerial life who God has sent to me in my troubles, and it was the best thing I could experience because feeling delivered is one of my deepest pleasures. There's no way to feel better than just like, whew, it's gone. Hallelujah. That's me again. Because sin causes discomfort. Sometimes you feel it's physical, but it's not. It's God saying, you need to repent. But we almost never listen to it easily. There is no other thing better in life than to feel God's peace reassuring we are loved and we are forgiven. I would love to share some parts of one favorite song of mine called Sinner Saved by Grace. It is sung by the band Gator. Perhaps you never heard about them, but that's fine. Which to me is an excellent illustration of what God has done in my life. And I had the help from my wife to prepare this as well. It says, well, I was just trying to see if it's easy to read, but I think it is because that is smaller. It says, if you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that put me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. And then it says, I am just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, he took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom with every breath of life I take. Loved and forgiven, backed with living. I am just a sinner saved by grace. Well, God is almighty, and he always comes to rescue us, as Mike Elcom also preached on Psalm 40. I don't know if you remember that. The best part of David's story is the intervention from God changing the place of cry, lament, and sadness into a completely different ending. As Mike shared with us, God rescued David out of his troubles and put him onto a firm rock and put also joy into his heart again. Hallelujah. And there we go for number two. God always sends us a messenger. That's another wonderful thing in the Gospels. I always tend to look every single day when I feel I am just falling apart. King David was a man who was surrounded by many different prophets. Right from when God used Samuel to call and anoint him, it is in 1 Samuel 16, and 2, to Nathan, a prophet who came into David's life to instruct and challenge him. So he was also sent to discipline and to give advices as well as correction to King David. And it says in 2 Samuel 12, this is about Nathan now. So Nathan the prophet was never afraid of King David, even knowing he could have been killed, like David planned someone else, just to make his life better. This is what a prophet does. Listens to God's command and meets people to deliver God's full messages, and it is whole. In its whole. More than once, David had some wonderful opportunities to come before the Lord, the God Almighty, and to consider himself as a lost man and a sinner who was to die for the detestable and cruel sin he sinned and the murder he planned. See examples in 2 Samuel 5 and 6, making his hand dirty with innocent blood, that's what he did. And he knew that he could die for that. He, David, recognized he was dirty. And moreover, he declares his sin was against God first. Meaning, before doing all the bad thing he did to the people, he first sinned against his God. He confesses his evil behavior and pleads for learning wisdom in his most inner place. You are probably relieved thinking, oh my goodness, that king was just a nasty one. I'm so happy that my sin is nothing compared to this. I must assure you that in God's eyes, sin is sin. And no matter how big or small the sin is, the consequences and the destruction in our spiritual relationship with our creation, our Creator, are the same. Doesn't matter. Whether we sin in thought, word, or deed, or commit the capital sins, we break our communion with our God. That's what sin does to us. But as soon as we repent and confess our sins, our relationship with God is restored immediately, as it says in Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And here we go for the third and the last one. We also are called to experience the joy of salvation again. Hallelujah for that. Every time I am washed and cleansed from my sins and guilt, I always experience the joy of being saved again. It is miraculously fast. After praying or after being prayed for forgiveness, I feel my heart healed. I had this experience of feeling my sins washed away when I first went to the U.S. It was in 1997, and I flew to New York. Never seen the snow before. And the most incredible time in my life was when I first saw it properly. I don't know how many of you have been to JFK, but from the window outside, I could see that thing just coming from, I had another idea of how the snow would come from heaven, because we never had this in Brazil. But when I saw it, I was amazed. I was amazed by the amount of snow I could see outside, from outside. I completely ignored my thermostats and just walked outside, crazily, and stayed there frozen and stared at the snow, just admiring its beauty. Maybe for you it's not the same because you have snow quite often. Recently, this week, we had a lot as well. But these make the verse 7 of the psalm so true when David is talking about being purified again and washed whiter than the snow. So I just couldn't keep myself. I started crying and said, oh, that is what he was saying. Because it was actually bright that my eyes just, I couldn't stare so much to that. I tell you, it was a proper snow because while I was walking, it was like I felt my feet just going under it. The experience I can never forget. Indeed, as I prepare this sermon, snow is falling, which reminds me of God's incredible grace and forgiveness and confirms his words. I was just looking outside again, and so when I just saw the snow coming, I just remembered. And gratitude inside someone just makes the difference. And it is inside someone who has been forgiven, it can be speechless. That's what I felt. I just went outside, didn't think much. Ignore completely that I was not wearing proper clothes, just went straight to feel it, to experience that. Because then it made sense for me why David was saying. And that's how I felt. Since then, I understood how powerful forgiveness is. I have decided to live and to serve my Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for the price of my sins and has risen again to give me life again, so I could copy David's attitude in verse 12 onwards, which says, restore me the joy of your salvation, my dear Lord, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. And I'd like to finish with some powerful words from Spurgeon. Please, darling. The throne of God no longer resteth upon me, but my Father smiles. I see his eyes, they are glancing love. I hear his voice, it is full of sweetness. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. I am forgiven.